We're going to go to Proverbs in chapter 29 if we can. Check up on the time straight away. We're away. Good. So just for a few little while here this morning, I want to talk about defining a vision. And in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he that keepeth the law." Happy is he that keepeth the law. So vision. The definition is the act of a power of imagination. It creates a mental picture that directs your actions. It provides a sense of purpose. If you have a vision, business or whatever you might be doing in your life as a family, you have a vision of what you'd like to fulfill in your life as a family or as an individual. Vision helps provide a determination to face the roadblocks, hurdles and challenges that and walls that may come up as you're fulfilling that desire. A vision provides the reason to keep going. We've heard a lot of testimonies this weekend, been really good, and talks last night. Felt like I was looking at a series of Ron Oliver Bailey lay there last night for a while with our lawyer and our teacher. And lo and behold, here I am. I went to jail and I was innocent, by the way. Vision helps set expectations. It adds focus. It substantiates your goals that you might have. And it creates measurable goals, things you can achieve in your life. So when the Lord talks about here, that where there is no vision, where there is no expectation in your life, or there's no determination as to what you want to fulfill, then it's a difficult way to walk with the Lord. In our fellowship, we talk about people with a good vision, generally associated with people that are walking with the Lord, who have walking in the Spirit. There's scriptures that we can talk about that, you know, you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk and live in the Spirit. If you walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh, you're good. That's our associated walking with the Lord. We're making good decisions associated with our walk in the Lord's sake. And that person is defined as having a good vision. It can be, Book of Revelation, where there's imagery. Ezekiel, Daniel had literal visions of what they were seeing in the future. I made a bad mistake one day when I was in the world. I'd taken some drugs and someone said, "Read the book of Revelation." That is not a good thing to do. And that was a nightmare. And I remember it well. And it was a guy who used to be in this fellowship who had fallen away. And he told me to read the book of Revelation, which I did. I got halfway there and it just blew my mind. And he had gone away from the fellowship. He was trying to make his way back and he was using me to try to convince himself to come back. So we have dreams of all sorts of things. Do you know that you dream nearly 2 hours a night? The test that they've done, 67 people have put into a soundproof room, neurological sensors on their brain, and they can determine that we have 2 hours a night of dreams that last 10, 15, 20 minutes, but a total of 2 hours. Did you know that? You're dreaming right now. And I'm going to do a talk for 2 hours. No, just joking. I dreamt last night that I had a giant marshmallow, and when I woke up, my pillow was gone. So, yeah. Anyway. So dreams, you know, all that sort of thing. We have sports. It's often associated with dreams. There's a guy by the name of Sir Clive Woodward. He was the manager for the England rugby team. He started became the manager in 1997. They were a bad lot of players. They were working out from an ATCO hut, and there's just doom and gloom as far as their expectations. He got together and he went to the young men and said, "Do you men want to have a chance to play for England?" And the young men said, "Yes." He said, "No excuses." Then he went to the old men, the older guys, their 30s that were had got a bit of experience. And he said, do you guys want a second chance to play for England? And they said, yes. He said, no blame. So on his chalkboard, on the board that he put, no excuses, no blame. Older people tend to blame, he said. Young people tend to excuse. So he wrote a book called Winning, because he ended up winning the World Cup several times. Sir Clive Woodward. He wrote a book called Winning. And he said, when you get rid of excuse and blame, it's replaced with inspiration, motivation, and success. And I've got the World Cup to prove it. So as a fellowship, our vision is we have no excuses and no blame. As a fellowship, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We can do it. We are an inspired people. Jesus said, we're the light of the world. So if we're the light of the world, how much are we being relied upon? And what sort of vision did Jesus Christ have for you and me in our walk in the Lord? What vision did he see? What expectation? We heard the testimonies here this morning of being confronted with sickness. And the Lord planned it when going to the cross that one day Stephen Liang would be here testifying of what God was able to do in their life. That's vision. That's the power of the Lord in their life. And all the people said, let's go to, shall we, in Matthew in chapter 6. So Clive Woodward went on to say that teachability, so go to Matthew 6. He said, new ones are easier to teach because they're students to the game. New people that come to the Lord are hungry, thirsty for the Lord. But he said that the biggest challenge is maintaining a desire and a thirst for knowledge. He said the most experienced players can sometimes put up roadblocks on their learning, which creates the biggest challenge and the risk in creating a winning culture within his field of work. So we're in the Lord, and we have people come up here of all walks of life and all ages, and the thing that drives us is the Holy Spirit in our life. People that have come to the Lord who weren't good at studying have now become good at studying. People who had no expectation, no reason to keep driving forward, didn't have a focus on their life, didn't have substantiated goals, didn't create a mental picture in their life about where they were heading and what they were doing. Some have come to the Lord without a sense of purpose, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and their lives were dramatically changed. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. We have all our vision. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore that light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I want to read you out a person in history. He said, I have a vision. I vow before God. This is where we can have a good vision and a bad vision. This is an example of a vision. I vow before God, our conscience, before the people, I have a dogged determination to fulfill our mission. Firm Christianity, the basis of our nation. Good moral family fibre, the nucleus of our people. May Almighty God favour our work, bless our vision, and bless us with the trust of the people. We have no desire to fight. You know who wrote that? Adolf Hitler. First speech, 1933. So you can have a bad vision. And it can sound good. You can read all the nice words there. But it was a bad vision, full of darkness. If an eye be evil, we read again, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee darkness, how great did that darkness become in history? So we are a people that are required to press on, don't give up. We're a people with moral fiber that enables us to keep going. We're a fellowship that, you know, we just recently started there with Aldinga. Stevie mentioned that. Started that with Pastor Phil. The convention that we had last year, and Pastor Phil said he did not want to have a revival campaign for one weekend. So we embarked on a campaign for the whole of that year, last year. So February last year, with a bunch of people getting together, Pastor Phil's thinking about that for the whole year. February last year started the Aldinga fellowship there down at the school. And we did it for 3 months, we've done it for 6, and we've got to renew that in June this year, what we'll do. So your prayers are important as to what we should do next. There's fours and the against, but the vision should be the same. The vision that got our fellowship going right at the very beginning, of the desire to save souls and the desire to keep ourselves saved. Some have been down the road many, many years and been through some hard times, roadblocks, difficult walls to climb, challenges that they weren't expecting, but the Lord has seen them through every one. And that's why we're here today. So what we do with that, and what we do as a fellowship, future, Pastor Johnny over here, and we go along the conveyor belt, which I've mentioned before, and we have our period of time, center stage, what we do, and we don't want to get to the others at the end of that sort of stage and lost the purpose, the vision of to why we've actually walked our walk with the Lord and what was the purpose behind it, what we set our goals to achieve. Number one, to save ourselves. And number two, to save the person next to us in our fellowship. Because we are an important people. And it doesn't require a lot. Because the Lord has done it for us. One step in front of the other. In fact, it's quite amazing how little the Lord requires of us when you think about what He achieved on the cross. He's done it all for us. And now we just have to walk in His steps and see the vision that He had. If we go to Revelation in chapter 19, and we've got here of John just seeing this incredible vision. I mean, he's on the island of Patmos. He's an eyewitness of to everything that Jesus did. He was there when Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, the 12-year-old child. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's seen some amazing things, visions. Heard and saw what Jesus did. And here he is at a fairly elderly age, some would suggest in his 90s, on the island of Patmos, having this amazing revelation. He's 19 chapters through it all. He's been writing vigorously, and then he sees this, some voice from heaven and words that were proceeding, because vision is words as well. Verse 9, write these things, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these things are true, saying of God. And this is John, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. See thou do it not. This is an endeavor to show to us in this very little passage of Scripture that the only one to be worshipped is the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty. This, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren which have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. What did Jesus prophesy in the book of Luke, which was written in Isaiah? When he got up, we might turn to that, Luke chapter 4, this great moment in the life of Jesus. Chapter 4, book of Luke, verse 17, or verse 16, he came, this is Jesus, to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as the custom was, he went into the synagogue of the Sabbath on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, which when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This book is now quoting from Isaiah, hundreds of years earlier, visions of Isaiah now being fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what Jesus said. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So you and I are fulfilling that prophecy. He's sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's us. To preach the deliverance of the captive. That's us. To recovering the sight of the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book in this momentous occasion in the history of this time when Jesus got up to fulfill the scriptures that have been prophesied. He closed the book, he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them who were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And they began, and he began to say unto them, from written hundreds of years earlier, this day is this scripture fulfilled on your ears. And we read in Revelation, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We're able to see a vision, if you like, when we talk to people with all their issues that they have in their life, all their insurmountable issues, their complications, their complexities that they have in their life. We're actually able to see through the Holy Spirit how God can intervene and change their lives and bless them. We're able to see the impossible, if you like. That song from Tom Jones, I think, is to dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe. He remembers that, some of the, I've heard the record there sometime. The re-repeat. That dream, that inspiration, that drives you from here to sell someone, I've got to talk, you can be healed. I'm going to have some prayer for you. That nervous anxiousness that we have when we step out drives us and sets our goals. And it drives us to be a good testimony at work. Because the moment we preach the gospel at work, we are bound to uphold the testimony of Jesus, because that is the spirit of prophecy. And we live our lives fulfilling the prophecies that Jesus spoke about. All of it being spoken of. And Jesus demonstrated in his life. And now we are followers of Jesus Christ himself. Let's go to Acts chapter 11. Just reading here. The tidings of great things that had happened in the book of Acts, of the things that came into the ears of the church in verse 22. Which were in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go forth as to Antioch, who when he came had seen the grace of God, was glad, exhorted them all, that with purpose, with a vision of heart, a determination that they would cleave to the Lord and never give up. And never give up. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, verse 26, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together and taught much people. And here's the clincher. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Why? Because there was miracles. There was wonder. There was people's lives being changed. There was fulfillment of Jesus, the spirit of testimony, the prophecy of the Lord there. He speaks in the book of Revelation. Just reading it out again, I'll turn to it. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Inspired word that we speak. That's our vision that we have, and it's a vision of people that walk with the Lord in our daily lives. And the Lord says we are a good work. Every one of us that have come along to the Lord, we've been changed mightily in what God has done in our life. He requires such little things of us. other than our heart. That's what he requires most of all. Can we go to the book of Joel for a moment, shall we? Book of Joel. Spend a few minutes here, then I'll hand over to Pastor Johnny and might take us through the communion service. Joel writing here many hundreds of years ago, in the book of Acts, when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled, Peter stood up and mentioned a number of things. But to explain the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the day of Pentecost, he spoke of this that Joel had written many, many hundreds of years earlier. These timeless prophecies, these timeless words spoken by Joel, ageless doctrine that we live by now, was spoken of hundreds and hundreds of years ago. A doctrine that is repeated time and time again, even today, if there's anybody getting baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, to all generations. And it shall come to pass, and as you know, verse 28, afterward that I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Young men will see into the future of what the Lord's going to do, not just in their life, because it's got to start with us, in your life, what the Lord is going to do in your husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, singles, what the Lord is going to do, the vision of what you want to see happen in your life, and dream dreams, the old men who are able to look back and see what the hand of God has done in their life. And look back and have story after story after story. What God has done, it inspires them to feel young today. They don't feel old because the Spirit's in them, ageless. So old and young in that sense, yes, in our age, but not in our spirit. So old men shall dream dreams. They'll see and talk, and young men will grow forward. And together, there's a story to have. In its context, Judah was going through some pretty hard times. It was a very damaged city. I'll just read out a couple of things. Verse 10 of chapter 1. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted and new wine is dried up. Verse 12. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even of all the trees of the field, are withered away because the joy which is withered away from the sons of men. That was the nation. And then if you look in verse chapter 2, a day of darkness, verse 2, verse 3, a fire doubt devoureth before them, and behind them is a flame burneth, and the land is the Garden of Eden in front of them. Before them, behind them, after this desolation has gone through, it is a wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape. There is just nothing in this nation. And then in the middle of all this, if we go to verse 17, when Joel is used in the writings here to inspire the nation then and inspires us today, let the priests and the ministers that you and I are walking with the Lord weep before the porch and the altar, and let us say, Lord, spare thy people, O Lord. Spare the people of the world. Yes, we hear of bad things that are going on in the world today, terrible things. But as a bright shining light, as a people of God with a vision of what Jesus Christ can do in people's lives, are we prepared? And I know we do, but are we prepared to do it as young and as old? Lord, spare thy people. Save them. Use me. Here I am. And all the people said, 25 minutes. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Johnny.